All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and our subject tonight, as you saw on the website, is a question. Proof of ET origins? Before we get into why that is the topic, I want to restate what I have said. And by restate, I don't mean I'm going to change it. I just want to say again what I have said about our origins. I don't know a lot about our origins, but I know a few things. One, I know that you have 223, I think it is, 223 genes in the human genome that have no, and I quote, no evolutionary precursors, end quote. And I was quoting Francis Crick, one of the guys who discovered DNA. There are 223 genes in our genome that are not from here. They have no precursors. In other words, there's part of you that could not have evolved. If evolution is in any way true, then there's part of you, and perhaps a significant part, that did not evolve, didn't come from here. After that information came out, there were scientists who scrambled, of course, trying to protect the locked vaults of the Vatican of Science. And, you know, the first high pope of what is modern science these days is Charles Darwin, who was dead wrong and dead too. And but that doesn't mean, when I say Darwin is dead, that doesn't mean that every possible form of evolution is dead. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is his theory ain't possible. Yeah, I know it's bad English, but it's good preaching, huh? All right. Now, I'm saying all of this right here at the beginning because I don't want people sitting around saying, well, what does he think about this? What does he believe? I can tell you, I don't believe anything about this. I do think about it, and I will throw in a few other thoughts as we go along here. But I just want it clear right up front that it's scientists who said you have 223 genes that didn't come from here. But there were some other scientists that came along trying to protect their religion, and it is a religion. They believe in it, but there's no proof of it. And so it's faith of Darwinism. And they said, well, now, those 223 genes, that's a result of a sideways insertion into the genome from some kind of virus. No. Because then that virus is the precursor. And so, if there is a precursor, then why are you having to try and account for the 223 genes? You're trying to account for them because there's not a precursor. There is no evolutionary precursor, and you're trying to make up some theory of how it happened, but it, however it happened would have been the precursor. So you have 223 genes that are not from here. Now, why am I doing a show tonight with a question as the topic, and the question being proof of ET origins. Well, the reason is because out on the internet, it goes by several headlines. It's the same article, though. But one of them is an alien message embedded in our genetic code. And this is an article about the research of two guys, Vladimir I. Scherbach. And he is a professor at the Al-Farabi Kazakh National University of Kazakhstan. And I've done shows on this before, and I've talked about him before. He's pretty well known, and he's published five papers, peer-reviewed papers on his own, over 60 other papers quote him and quote his peer-reviewed papers, and those 60-something other papers are written by 32 other peer-reviewed authors. So he's pretty well known. And then Maxim A., I guess it's pronounced Makukov, of the Fezenkov Astrophysical Institute. Now, these two guys have taken a look at the human genome. And they've looked at the basic code for the DNA code. And what they are saying is that this code, this DNA code, has very regular patterns in it. And in fact, it's an intelligent signal embedded, or an intelligent stamp, I guess you could say, embedded in our genetic code. It's mathematical, it's semantic, and say what better way for whoever designed DNA, whoever made our DNA, what better way for them to stamp their ownership than to write it in the DNA code, because it would last for cosmological epochs of time. And they say that, let me just read here what they say about what they see in DNA. And this is a quote: simple arrangements of the code reveal an ensemble of arithmetical and ideographical patterns of symbolic language, which includes the use of decimal notation, logical transformations, and the use of the abstract symbol of zero. It's accurate and semantic, and the underlying patterns appear as a product of precision logic and non-trivial computing. That's what these two guys say, and they have incidentally published this in a scientific journal called Icarus, and that's a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And what's happening out there now, because you've got two scientists of academic note who are saying that your DNA is a language and shows precision, non-trivial computing, high logic, and the use of, I don't recall if I said it, but semantics. In other words, it is a language. DNA code is a language. Now, this is not the first time that we've heard this. Russian scientists have been working on this for a long time. Japanese scientists have been working on this for a long time. For more than a decade, possibly two decades, they've been saying that it looks like a language. This is the first time I'm aware of where we've had such details as, you know, complicated arithmetic syntax and high logic and semantics and the use of decimal notations. I mean, it sounds like they're really getting close to being able to just read the paragraph, you know. But what they're saying, their hypothesis is that looking at all this evidence, and I quote again, the genetic code appears that it was invented outside the solar system already several billion years ago. So that has the internet in a stir. A huge stir. Yeah, I was saying Vladimir Scherbak had all these publications. I think I told you he has 12. He's got 15. He's been quoted in 68 other peer-reviewed papers by 32 other authors. So, I mean, you know, this is, he's not a lightweight. And this has not only the internet in a stir, this has the real world in a stir. And here is why. Because there is, you know, one basic group, I guess you could say, it's one common basic group that says it all has happened by chance and circumstance and, you know, physical laws, things that just happen by physical law, have governed the evolution of slime into us. I grant you, I know some slimy people. In my former career, I dealt with a lot of slimy people too. But biological scum is a little different. And so this basic group, I mean, there's that one group. But then there's a host of other beliefs, and that one is a belief. That evolution is a belief. It's not a fact. It is a belief. And every time I say that, I get email from someone who says, "You seem so intelligent, and yet, you know, it sets my teeth on edge every time you say something like that because I'm embarrassed for you." Do not be embarrassed. I shall repeat it. Evolution is a belief. It's a religion. It is not hard science. I don't care if 2 billion scientists line up and say they believe it. That doesn't mean it's not a belief. It is a belief. Just means it's got 2 billion guys saying they believe it. But it's a belief. But then you got a host of other beliefs about our origins and the nature of our existence. And all of those others have jumped on this. They've jumped on this article, and they're saying, "See, we told you so." So that's what we're going to examine a little bit here tonight. Now, the work of Scherbak and Makukov, was that his name? I know I'm not saying it correctly, but let's check it out just in case here. Yeah, Makukov. Maxim Makukov. The work of these two guys is not just a couple of guys having a beer in the garage and, you know, saying, "Well, you know, I think it's this." These are some heavyweight scientists. And they are saying look, there is a language in that DNA. We can read some of it. It has syntax. Do you know what syntax is? Let me give you an example. In English, we would say, hand me the red apple. So our syntax is to put red before apple. We put the modifier before the noun. In Spanish, it doesn't work that way, and in a lot of other languages. The syntax is, hand to me the apple red. You put the noun first and then the modifier. That's what syntax is. And so they're saying this language has syntax. It also contains high arithmetics, high logic. It uses decimal numbers. It uses also the sort of abstract zero. I mean, they can recognize all of this in the DNA. And so now what you've got is you have people who are in favor of and they believe in intelligent design as the origin point of the universe and of us. They're jumping on it and saying, see, that proves intelligent design. You have people who believe in creation, the Bible version of creation, you know, God did it. They're jumping on it and they're saying, see, that's like God's signature. Now, I do hope you folks realize if God did it, he's an excessively advanced geneticist. And then you have people who are sort of more in what it gets called the world of woo-woo, you know, spiritual but not religious. And sometimes that is used, the world of woo-woo is kind of used as an insult, but sometimes not. But that whole thing, you know, I mean, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. It doesn't offend me when somebody says, well, you're woo-woo, okay? They don't know me. But they're jumping on it. Same reason. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back with more information about this in just a moment. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our excursion into the deep end here tonight as we are discussing an article that has come out that describes and details the work of a couple of scientists who have been working with taking a look at DNA code, and they have now published in a peer-reviewed journal, a scientific journal, and they are saying that DNA code shows that it is designed by a highly intelligent mind. They say that it is their conclusion that it was developed somewhere outside of our solar system billions of years ago. I don't know exactly how it is they came to that conclusion, but that is their conclusion. And it's got folks in a stir out there. There's a lot of stuff being written for it and against it, and I read one article where you know, the guy was the writer of the article was talking about this as bad science and it's blah 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 blah. Well, maybe and maybe not. Maybe this guy who's writing is just one of those, you know, paid lackeys who goes out there and debunks stuff or tries to. It could be that. I don't know. But this has everybody in a stir. It's got every group jumping on it. you know, the people who are in favor of, you know, they believe in intelligent design, or another group similar, very closely related, is the creationists, who believe the Bible version of creation, although I've proven they don't believe the Bible version, they believe the church version of creation. And then there are people also kind of in the woo-woo world, you know, and they believe the universe is conscious, and they've jumped on it, and they're saying, see, this code, this DNA code, because it has syntax, and it's got high arithmetic equations, and it uses decimal numbers, and it uses zero, and it shows, you know, non-trivial high-level computing. Because of all of that, you see, the universe is conscious. Everybody's claiming it as proof. There's the holographic universe crowd, you know. I like this crowd. I really do. And listen, I don't disrespect anybody. I really don't. But I do have kind of a satirical sense of humor, as you know. The holographic universe crowd kind of says this. It's all an illusion that you're creating in your own mind. And, of course, my question is, then all of us are having the same illusion? Because you can ask somebody, you know, what color is this? And they'll say green. Everybody in the room will say green. They all have exactly the same illusion. So, but they say we're creating this with our mind. And they say, see, it has all of that because our minds are logical and so forth, and our minds are creating that. Well, look, I'm going to tell you a couple of things about that. Very few people, very precious few people, have minds that can do high arithmetic equations and use abstracts and do non-trivial computing with their minds and imprint it on DNA. There's very, very few people that have the mental capacity that could even do that. And if you could, let me show you why that's not true. You want to know why it's not true? Because you get sick and you die. When you get sick and you're at the point of death, if that were true, all you have to do is think that your DNA is repairing itself. All you have to do is think that you're well, and it will happen if you're creating it, and then you won't die. But the fact that you get sick, the fact that you get old and die, the fact that you get sick and die proves you ain't creating this stuff. How many people, if they were dying and it really was a holographic universe, would say, oh, I think I'll just go ahead and die? Maybe a few, but I guarantee you most people would say, whoop, time for me to think life and live some more. There are people who say we are actually in a computer simulation. We've done shows on that, you know. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. It could be, but I don't think so. But they've jumped on this research by these two scientists, and they say, you see, that proves that this is a computer program, and we're just in a computer program. We're living in the world of Tron. So you see what happens? Everybody except the evolutionists have jumped on this and owned it, claimed it for themselves. And the evolutionists, well, it kicks their religion in the teeth, so they're trying to debunk it. Even this debunking article that I read admits that DNA code does have very regular patterns in it. Even it admits that. But it says that, you know, basically what these guys are doing amounts to numerology, assigning numbers to things. Look, can I explain something to you, debunker? That is what scientists do. They assign a number. If they can't think of a number, if a number doesn't present itself as being viable for something, they make up a symbol for it. They just make up symbols. Have you ever heard of delta? Why did they use delta? Because it represents an abstract that you can use in an equation. That's why they grabbed that out of the Greek language and threw it into equations. Okay. So scientists put numbers on things and they measure things. That's what they do. And so if these two guys are just doing numerology by assigning number values to different things in our genetic code, if that's what they're doing, if it's numerology, then it's numerology when you go into the lab and you pour some boric acid out and you then put it on the scales and you weigh it and then you write down the weight of it for your experiment. That's numerology too then. It's measurement. So I don't think they're doing numerology. Now, I don't know that their research is accurate. I don't know that their research conclusions are accurate. I just know that they have lit the world with this paper. And I want to talk a little bit about some of these possible theories here that people believe. Then we're going to open the phone lines, and I want to talk with you about, how do you think we got here? Intelligent design and the God theory are very, very close. But you see, intelligent design doesn't necessarily have to have God in it. Intelligent design has room for the intelligence to be the consciousness of the universe itself. And so it can be related to the creationists, or it can be related to the consciousnessists. Try saying that. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I don't know. I know what I think has happened, but I know what I think. I don't know that that's accurate. And I don't believe. I'm quite willing to change what I think. Now, if it was like a religious conviction for me, I wouldn't change it if you killed me. But it's not a religious conviction for me. I know what I think, based on evidence, and there's precious little evidence. But, I mean, there's a whole lot of evidence of intelligence out there. Precious little evidence to narrow it down. Is it just like the consciousness of the universe, or is it a personal God? Now, some people say, well, that's the same thing. No, it's not. Those who believe it's God, that would be Christians, Jews, and Muslims. They think that this God, their belief is that this God has personality and traits, personality traits. More so in Judaism and Christianity, it's more evident there. But even in Islam, Allah in Judaism, El or Yahweh, in Christianity, they say God, has personality traits. I mean, you've heard of things like the wrath of God. You've heard of the love of God, the mercy of God. Those are personality traits. So intelligent design can have, under that umbrella, you can have a God that has personality traits. Now, under if we're not talking about, you know, the creationists, the groups I've just mentioned, if we're talking about consciousness and conscious design, that falls under intelligent design as well. But it tends to hold that there is a self-existing, self-perpetuating consciousness that has no personality traits. And this consciousness is what has generated everything we're calling the universe. And the word that they use is it manifests a planet, for instance, a sun, a star, a comet, an asteroid. It manifests those things. It manifests oxygen. It manifests this, that, and the other thing. But it is consciousness. Now, if you believe in the God theory, you have no problem in saying he is that consciousness. In fact, you Christians, your Bible says that. Your New Testament says that. That he is that consciousness. But then there's the non-religious consciousness group. And they say it's just consciousness. There's no personality to it. And I think whether you choose the God thing or you choose just the consciousness thing, it's pretty hard to deny that there's some intricate design in this universe and in you. All right, welcome back to the Deep End tonight at the Kevin Smith Show. As we went away for break, I had just made the statement, and I wish the break hadn't taken over there because I know a bunch of people jump to conclusions, and if so, you probably have been killed by the fall. When I say it's pretty hard to deny that there's design in this universe and in creation, I mean, what is it? We call it laws of physics, but they're not laws because they can. Our understanding of them changes, and therefore our statement of our observations change. The laws don't change, but they're there. There's order. There is order. How'd that happen? There has to be some organizing force at work. Consider your eyesight. Just hold your hand out in front of your face. Raise your index finger. Yeah, your index finger. Just raise your index finger and look at it. Do you realize how much computing power it took just to raise your arm, put your hand out there, raise your index finger, look at it with your eyes, and your eyes see and recognize your finger? It takes computing power beyond what we have. And you carry it right here in your brain. Computing power. Think of that. Just being able to see that finger, just being able to raise that finger up, takes computing power beyond what we have. Now, attributing my statement that it's pretty hard to deny there's design, attributing that to any one of these groups would be intellectually fatal. Because I don't. I don't know. But I would like to hear what you think about how we got here. This has the world lit up. I mean, scientists are writing for and against the work of these two scientists and their published paper. Scientists are writing for and against it. Not only are scientists doing that, lay people are writing for and against it. You got people jumping on the bandwagon for their particular group saying, see, this proves we're right. And then you got the evolutionists saying, oh, no, that's bad science. So here's what I want to do. I want to find out where we are tonight at the Kevin Smith Show, or if you're on the other side of the world today, I want to find out where we are. I bet we're all over the map. Now, some of you never call in because you say, well, I agree with him, so I don't have anything to say. Or you say, well, I don't agree with what he said, and he doesn't agree with what I said, and I'm just not going to talk to him because he doesn't agree with me. For those, let me say, grow up. I have a right to say what I think, but you do too. And here on this show, you get that opportunity to say what you think. And nobody is going to belittle you for speaking up. I'm not going to challenge what you think is the correct version of this. I just want to know where we are. So the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and give us a call and tell me what you think. How did we get here? What about the origins? And are these guys correct in their conclusions that this intricate computer language was written and developed and written outside of our solar system billions of years ago? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'll be honest with you, Kevin.
All right,
be honest. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
But I will say this. A few weeks ago, you did a story about programmers or some computer scientists, I think it was in the UK, that were able to put data on a strand of DNA.
Yeah, and let me add to that, before you finish, let me add to that. They have now, according to someone who called me, I didn't see this, but a person called me and told me that they have now made a working transistor.
Cool.
In DNA.
Now, mm-hmm. That's really cool. But what if they're overwriting stuff that's already there?
Uh-huh.
What would happen if they were able to decode what's already there?
Well, I asked that in that show.
What do you say? Yeah.
No, there was no response. They were saying it's in a language we don't understand yet.
That these guys in, was it Kazakhstan?
Yeah.
They're getting close.
They may be closer than, they may be closer than what they published.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when they decode it, it may say, hi, this is God, tag, you're it.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
But I don't know what it says, and they haven't, I don't think, published what it says. But out of all of those theories, are there any of them that you prefer?
I'm only going to go so far as to say I agree with you. There is intelligent design. I don't know what it is, but there is intelligent design.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of self-evident that there is, but there are people that disagree with that and say, no, it's not self-evident at all. So,
yeah.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, goodbye.
Bye. All right, what about you? What do you think? Now, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can either call us, use the telephone number and call us, or you can send me a flash message, and the flash message thing is real easy to do. You just go over to the website, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and then right above it is a link, and it says flash message, so you can use that. But where are we on this? Where is the Kevin Smith Show audience on this? All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Lasha from Vancouver.
Hello, Lasha.
First off, you know what? I'm loving the beard.
You like that?
You got to keep it. It looks great.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Now, I don't mean to go against any non-trivial computing.
Okay.
But I think they're kind of looking at it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we assume that it came, you know, I mean, I think the DNA is billions of years old, but why do we assume it came from off planet? Why can't it be from here?
You have 228 genes that have no evolutionary precursors. They're not related to anything on this planet.
Well, you know, here's my theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all of who we are is in that DNA, and we have de-evolved, in a way, to what we are now. And if we were to evolve back into who we're supposed to be, we'd use all of that DNA.
I can't disagree with that, but where did it come from?
Well, now that's a big question.
Uh-huh.
It comes from source. It comes from, I guess what you would call a divine consciousness.
Okay. So that, by definition, means it didn't come from here then.
Well, here is part of that consciousness, too. Here's what I think, Kevin. I think DNA is a receiver. I think it receives information, and it receives consciousness and makes us physical. Because we are in this dimension.
Yeah, but DNA is physical.
And there are certain times when what we are receiving will expand and will become again what we used to be. And I think that DNA that looks dormant is just simply a record of that's lying dormant until we are again what we're supposed to be. And of course it would have syntax.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, but if it comes from source, that means it did not originate here. Because here came from source.
You know what? We have to think bigger than that.
Okay, let's do it.
Because here and there is not different.
I'm going to have to write that in a song. Here and there ain't different.
No.
Hang on, we got a break. We'll be... All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here, Lasha.
I'm still here.
Here and there ain't different. You make a good point, though. I do, too. That would be a good song, and I wrote that down. Believe me, that's going to be a song. Believe me. All right. Well, here and there as being positional is not different because, as we know, let's think of the source as being all-enveloping everywhere, and our planet is enveloped by it, and so we're in the source and of the source by that theory. But positionally, they are not different, but there is a difference in state between us and source. And
a difference of perception, yes.
Well, there's a difference of state. Source is not physical, and we are.
Well, yeah, these are very, very big questions, Kevin. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. I get paid
physical,
big bucks to ask those
but either
questions.
Are we.
Source is what?
Source is not physical, but either are we.
No, we are.
We just think we are.
No, we don't think we are. We are. We are physical, and we do die. And then there is the spirit that continues to live elsewhere. But it's a spirit living in a physical body, just like a Lasha driving a physical car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're spirit holding onto a body. That's true.
Yeah.
So we're spirit holding onto a body. We're not the body.
But the body does exist. The body does exist, and not just because we think so. And I can prove that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I can prove it is a camera. Your camera will take a picture of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It cannot do that if you're only there because you think so. And then we can take that picture and we can hand it to 1,000 people who know you, and they will all identify it as you. Because you do, in reality, exist in a physical world.
Well, they identify my physical body.
Well, nevertheless, the point is it doesn't exist because you think it does. It exists whether you think it does or not.
Well, I disagree, because I kind of wonder where an object would go to not be.
Well, all right, let's do this. What about a person who has lost all mental capacity to think?
Oh, you mean like a Republican?
Or a Democrat, or anybody political. So, where does... here's a person who absolutely cannot think. I mean, they are, for all intents and purposes, they are brain dead. They cannot think, so they're not thinking they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And if physical reality only exists because we think so, then what do you do,
Kevin,
when you get sick?
I see where we got a misunderstanding here. You're assuming that the mind is in the brain.
No, I'm not. Let's take a fully conscious person. When they are ill, is it just because they think so? Well, all they have to do is think they're not.
True.
When they're dying, are they dying just because they think so? All they have to do is think they're not, and they're an immortal.
True.
Then they're an immortal. It isn't true.
That's what reincarnation is.
No, it's not.
Well,
reincarnation's different from that, Lasha. Reincarnation is you die, and then your spirit takes up another real physical body.
Right.
But if your body exists only because you think so, then all you had to do is think, I'm not going to die.
And then you get another body.
No, you wouldn't die.
You don't. Your spirit doesn't.
Your spirit doesn't, but you're skirting the issue, and the issue is that body does not exist because you think it does. It exists.
I disagree.
Okay. I want you to look at your body. I want you to hold your hand out in front of your face. Try this. Hold your hand in front of your face, and I want you to think for your fingers. Think to your fingers and tell them to grow 2 inches. You can't do it. Your body is. Your spirit is. But the body doesn't exist because you think so. I'm just saying what I think.
You might be
right.
I hear you. And it's a very complicated issue. But, you know, science, if you want to believe science, proves that physical objects don't actually exist. There's a great deal of space between all the atoms.
Physical objects do exist, and they are an arrangement of atoms that do have a lot
of
space
between them.
Only
if consciousness sees them.
No, because your camera is not conscious.
It's participating in a consciousness.
Your camera, you can do an experiment in which that camera does not participate in any consciousness at all, and have it snap pictures or run video with nobody running it, nobody consciously doing anything, and it's going to get the images of what really is in front of it.
Do you know what, Kevin? You're underestimating the tenacity of the conscious mind.
I think you're
and how real it can make things.
You're overestimating consciousness.
Kevin, you're talking to someone who's realized emptiness.
Me too. But the thing is that the real world really does exist. And if you don't think so, stand in the middle of the road with a Mack truck coming down the street and headed right towards you and think it doesn't exist?
There are rules. Yep, you're right. There are rules that we all agree on. There are laws that seem to be extremely prevalent because there's an agreement in the conscious, collective unconscious about how this participates. But I promise you, it's just a dream.
Yeah, I promise you it's not. We're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
Okay, Kevin.
But,
keep the beard, though. I love the beard. It's
okay,
real.
And listen, I appreciate you pressing your points. I think you make your case very, very well. I think reality is reality. It's not invented.
I agree, reality is reality, but it's a dream. Then it becomes real.
Oh, you're impossible. You know that you're impossible, Lasha.
I know. It shows everybody.
Hey, thanks for the call.
No problem, Kevin.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, how about you? Oh, man, I love that. Don't you love that? Where else can you go and just have a conversation and nobody's angry, huh? Here. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. We're talking about this study, not just a study, it's a published, a peer-reviewed published paper done by a couple of scientists over in Kazakhstan, well-noted scientists, as a matter of fact, and they're saying that DNA is a language, and they can read part of it. It's got syntax and all kinds of stuff. And I'm asking tonight, out of all the interpretations of that, I mean, you know, creation, intelligent design, source, consciousness, holographic universe, computer simulation, where is our audience on this? Where are you on this? What's your opinion? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Well, what a amazing topic, and I just love it. I love it that you're bringing it to the table tonight, Kevin. And here's my take on it.
All right,
my take on it is, first of all, what is DNA? DNA, we have given labels to the components of it. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what is it? It's tyrosine, cytosine, guanine, and something that starts with an A, and I can't think of it now. But anyway, they're bundled together in molecules that we call chromosomes, and they get paired up, and when they pair up, then they determine our physical makeup. You know, we have 23 pairs of chromosomes in the human genome, and that goes to make up what we, the way we think, the way we look, the way, a lot of the way we act and so on is determined by the messages embedded in all that DNA. Now, the energy that exists on the tips of that bundled spiral, you know, it's a tightly wound, at least double helix, you know. Crick and Watson said it was a double helix. Linus Pauling said it was a quadruple helix, but then they said, well, his model was wrong, and I don't know. I wasn't there paying attention at the time. But I would say that if those are tightly wound bundles of energy, that energy had to come from somewhere. And it's not just a receiver, because energy doesn't receive, energy transmits. It's an active force, as we are supposed to be.
Yeah, but let me interject this now to think about. Every receiver is powered by energy.
Well, that's true, too.
So you may have some receptors in it.
If the energy on the end of the chromosomes is indeed energy, you know, then it may be powering a receiver or a recorder, but it is itself energy. And then where did that energy come from? You know, is it created by a chemical reaction? I don't think so, because the chemicals themselves are made up of stepped down energy. One of the things that the atomic discovery of the atomic reality has showed us is that everything is reducible to energy. All the matter that we see around us is reducible to energy, positive, negative, electrical charges in various combinations. And, you know, we see it out here in our neighborhood, out in the boondocks of the third limb of the spiral galaxy, known as the Milky Way. And where did that energy come from? Well, there is a center to our galaxy, the galactic core. Mm-hmm. And the galactic core is this massive burst of super energy that is the birthplace of all the planets, all the suns, all the, you know, the solar systems and everything else just radiates out of this amazing machine. You know, and it's not even a machine. It's beyond the machine. You know, I just have to use some kind of a word to describe it. It's the source of the entire galaxy. And then our galaxy itself, you know, well, where did that center of that galaxy come from? Well, there are even more vast portions of the universe, both known and unknown, that burst forth these things that become galactic centers that give birth to galaxies, nebula, what have you. You know, it's just an amazing array of active life force that's out there that keeps wanting to replicate itself, that keeps wanting to spread itself around, keeps wanting to meet itself and shake hands with itself in various forms. You know, it's just, and I think part of the construction efforts that it makes brought us about, you know, in our human form. Given our spiritual essence, our energetic essence, I think we are part and parcel of that galactic core, which is part of another huge burst of life and energy, just pure life and energy. And then, you know, this pure burst of life and energy had to take on a positive and a negative charge to it. It had to take on light and dark. It had to have a giver and a receiver. You know, it has to have opposites and duality and all that stuff. And I think that's where we give rise to a lot of the weird drama that we find around ourselves. You know, let's take a look at consciousness. Just what are we conscious of? You know, for there to be consciousness, there has to be something to be conscious of. And a lot of the things that we're conscious of are kind of disagreeable to us. And they want to bring a limit to our consciousness. And in fact, there are a lot of forces in the things that we're conscious of that seem to me be making a conscious effort to shut the lights out on our consciousness. Mm-hmm. So how do we react to that? You know, we learn. We expand our ability to think and to explore and to maybe dodge and evade even. You know, and get around things. It's just a huge myth that's unfolding before our eyes, and we are the heroes and heroines of that myth. You know, and you know, maybe I'm getting a little off topic here. I don't
a little
know.
Bit. Let's talk about DNA.
Oh, we got to get back to DNA, don't we? We should.
We do. Here's this language in the code, identifiable as a language, according to these scientists. So what does that indicate? Does that indicate intelligent design, or indicates there is God who did it all, or indicates just consciousness or source? Or is this? Does it indicate that this is a holographic universe that we're creating with our minds?
Well, I think we get ourselves in trouble when we start to say that we are the creators of the dream, or the whatever you want to call it, that we are the creators of it. Because what do we mean by we? You know, it ain't me. You know, don't blame me. You know, I was thrust into a world I did not create. You know, when I was born, I was dropped here. I didn't create the United States and the planet Earth as it existed on July 14th of 1950. Somebody already did that, and I just got dropped into the middle of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't blame me. And but the DNA itself implies an intelligent design that goes beyond our concept of intelligence. You know, it's an intelligence that is emotional as well as mental, spiritual, all those things. And and I'll tell you something that's scary to me right now. I'll tell you something that kind of there's a corporation out there called the Vandalia Corporation, I think is the name of it, and they have a patent pending process where they're creating DNA now. They can custom make DNA, and I don't know where they're going with that, but we can make DNA ourselves, and we can custom make it into whatever we want it to be. Just about. It's a very expensive process, but we ourselves are able to create DNA in a laboratory now.
Well, let me say this about that. All you have to do is look around the world and see how good we're doing at being just humans. And, you know, that'll give you an indication of how good they're going to do at being God.
Yeah, doesn't that scare the bejesus out of you, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Steve, I want to thank you for the call. I think you're saying it's consciousness.
I believe I would say it's consciousness.
Okay. Outstanding. Thanks for the call.
You bet, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We have a flash message from Patrick in Australia. He says, "Good day, Kevin. Interesting topic. However, everyone's overthinking it. The answer is simple. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Cheers, Patrick." So I think Patrick is saying something like what Lasha was saying. You might be right, but I don't think so. I don't think it's just a dream. I think there's hardcore reality to this stuff. But you might be right. I could be wrong. Here and there ain't different. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Levi from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Hello, Levi.
Yes, Kevin, I'd like to say I'd like to go with the side of the, I guess you want to call it intent. Because I'm looking at the DNA, and we think that 223 DNA is just junk DNA. But
well, we think 223 are not from here.
Right. But that DNA is what enables us to be different from the other animals on this planet.
I don't disagree with that because I don't know. You might be exactly right. I suspect you are, that the difference between us and all other animals on the planet would be in that 223, because everything else in our genome we share with them, which would be,
right.
Look, that would be normal, because if evolution is true, then we evolved from them. If creation is true, we were made from the dirt of the ground originally. And so we had the DNA that was here on Earth in the dirt. So, I mean, either way, evolution or creation, we share DNA with the rest of the planet, except for the 223. The 223, we don't share with anybody.
It's kind of like we computers with a different app. We got a little different app than the rest of the animals, and yeah. We can do things that they can't do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they can do things we can't do. And,
I mean, as far as we are creators in ourselves as far as creating airplanes, cars, mm-hmm. buses. And other animals don't do that.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, animals are a lot smarter than we think they are. I watched a documentary. I think it was called Talk Turkey. It's a guy who just, maybe he's a scientist or something, I don't remember now, but he lived with his flock of turkeys and for a year. And he was able to determine that they have a language and that they communicate with each other with that language. And when they make that sound has a meaning just like if we said a sentence. And he was able to actually decode some of the sounds and what they mean. So here's, you got some birds, and they talk to each other in their own language. And so, you know, they're a lot smarter than we think they are. However,
yeah, sure they are.
However, what makes us us? I think you're right. I think it's in those 223 genes. But now I've got to ask you. This research says that DNA is a language, and it's a non-trivial, high-computing language. And they even describe some of, you know, the things about it, like it's got syntax, it uses decimals, it uses the abstract zero. I mean, they've identified all of this in it. So what does that point to? Does that point to it just happened? By chance, by Darwinism? Does it point to intelligent design, God, creation, or the universe is just conscious and it did it? Or what does it point to? What do you think?
Well, it points to me, it points to a creator. But as far as the DNA having a language.
All right, hang on, we got a break taking over. All right, we'll be back and talk to Levi right after this break. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are in the deep end tonight. On the telephone with me is Levi, and I believe, Levi, you said you're from Virginia?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so a break took over, and you were speaking. We had to cut you off. So the line is yours. Go ahead.
Okay, you were saying that the DNA was in a language, and it would have to be in a language because right now all the cells in your body are communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so a good example of that is if you were to take a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that new kidney does not know the code for your body.
Mm-hmm.
And since it does not know the code for your body, the other cells would reject it because, you don't know the language. You don't know the code.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't have the password.
Yeah, you don't have a password.
Access denied, so, yeah.
So they got to give you some type of anti-rejection medicine. So the rest of the cells will be confused, so they won't know. They won't know that other kidney is there. They don't notice it.
Uh huh. Okay.
So
I agree with that. But
being a language.
Let's, okay. But my question is: so what does that language signify? Does it tell us the fact that it's in a language? Does that tell us intelligent design, or God did it, or the universal consciousness did it? What does it tell us?
Well, I'd like to say intelligent design and God is interchangeable.
Well, it can be, but see, you can also, under intelligent design, you can say, well, the universe itself is conscious and intelligent. And the universe itself is living and did it. And so it doesn't have to be God. So which is it? Is it God or consciousness?
Well, if I was to make a choice, I would say it's God, which is mm-hmm. intelligent.
Okay. Very good. The good thing about all of this, Levi, is that absolutely nobody can prove nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, the evolutionists can't prove it's wrong, and the people who think that this research is right can't prove, you know, whichever one of these they believe in, they can't prove that's right. It's their belief. So we're on totally safe ground here.
I know certain things we know, I feel like it can't be just by chance. Because it would take too many coincidences for these things to be.
Uh-huh.
You know, as far as you cut your hand, and immediately when you cut your hand, your body knows exactly what to do to seal that cut so you won't bleed to death.
Uh-huh.
So it would take a lot of coincidences for all of the things that we experience to exist.
Well, it would. And, you know, an interesting thing, I don't know if this research is accurate. I mean, look, I'm not a PhD in science. But I read a paper one time where a scientist calculated how long it would take for, by chance, at best, just for the human eyeball to evolve, human sight to evolve. And it was longer than the age of the universe.
So it would have to be by intent.
He came to that conclusion, and he was, I forget who it was, but he was an atheist. But he came to the conclusion that though he did not know what the answer was, he knew what it was not, and it was not Darwin.
Yeah, I would like to say before I go, we read about the Bible where it says Adam ate this fruit.
Uh-huh.
And well, what happened was whatever chemicals that was in that fruit, it's kind of like you take a computer and download a certain app, and then you can get certain information. And what happened was this enabled his cells in his body to download what we call a creator type things that we do, like we from making airplanes to planes to cars or whatever.
Could be.
And that's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. I know he got kicked out of the garden because, according to that story, anyway, in Genesis, it says. He didn't get kicked out of the garden because he sinned. He got kicked out of the garden because he had now become Elohim. He had become the race Elohim. And he's become one of us. It says that. It comes right out and says it. And it says that the Lord God said, now the man has become one of us.
Right. And it also says, they're not going to let him eat the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would live forever. In other words, he would download that app too.
So what we have here is God acting as Steve Jobs, saying no more free downloads for you.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, who knows, you know. But here's the point. Even though you don't know, you believe something probably about this. And none of us know for sure. I mean, look, all you scientists that you keep saying, the Big Bang. You weren't there. You didn't hear it. You didn't see it. Nobody recorded it. I mean, that's a belief, okay? And so everybody, we talk about origins. You just jumped into the pool of beliefs. And that's okay. I'm not nervous about the pool of beliefs. I don't mind us swimming in it a little bit tonight. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. And we're talking about this research that was done by a couple of scientists in Kazakhstan. Well-noted scientists, And they wrote a paper explaining their research, explaining their conclusions, and explaining why they had come to those conclusions. And among their conclusions, the primary one is DNA is a language. It is not random. It is highly precise. It is highly logical. It is arithmetic. It uses decimals. It uses the abstract of zero and shows non-trivial, high-level, highly logical computing. And the question then is, so what does that indicate? What does that indicate to you? Now, some of you, and this is important. Look, I told you this is, you know, I have heard that the Kevin Smith Show is an acquired taste. I've been hearing that since the year 2000 when we started this show. So for some of you, this is your first swim with us. And, you know, everything we're talking about here, you may go to bed tonight all shaken up and worried and, oh my goodness, I don't know what to believe. That's not the purpose of this, and that should not be the result of it either. You don't have to believe anything about it. Just think about it and see what you think it indicates. For me, you know, the way I deal with it is pretty simple. It indicates to me they're getting close to an answer. That's all. But what is that answer? I will get some email, I'm quite sure, from someone who says, well, you know, you really shook up my beliefs, whatever those may be. You shook up my beliefs with that show. Why? You see, at this point, this research only challenges one religion, and that's the religion of Darwinism. This research, and it may be that this research is flawed in some way. That's a possibility, because humans did it. Well, not humans, but us. Now, you see, you're new to the show and you're saying, wait a minute, wait, hang on, aren't we humans? Well, no. But for shorthand, we'll use that. So we did it. You know, our species did this research. So we know it's flawed in some way. It falls short somewhere. It has to, because we're not perfect. And so all research is based on our species observing things, and our observations and our perceptions of things cannot be divorced from what happened. What happened, happened. Whatever they were observing happened. And then it goes through the filter of their perceptions, and they write down what they perceive, and that's an observation through that filter. So it's, you know, it's flawed somewhere. All science is flawed. All because of that. And so, but this research only challenges one belief system. It challenges Darwinism. That's what it challenges. It really doesn't challenge anybody else's belief system here. I mean, everybody else can lay claim to it. Everybody can lay claim to it except the Darwinists. And can say, see, I told you so. And but there are so many. You know, I've just listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've just listed and talked about 5 belief systems about origins. But there are many, many more. All of them, except for Darwinism, all of them can lay claim to this research and say, ah, you see, that proves our point. If this research continues, there's going to come a point at which they can read that language. In a way, they can now. They can look at a part of the genome and they can say, well, this does that. So it's an observation. They're reading the result of the code. It takes a while to translate backwards and say, we got this result from that. So when we see that, it will mean this again. And that's true, except language has syntax. Now, do you remember when I talked about syntax? At the beginning of the show, I said in English we say hand me the red apple, but in Spanish you say hand me the apple red. And in a lot of languages on the planet, you use the noun and then the modifier. In English, you use the modifier and then the noun. That's syntax. Okay? That's what we're talking about. So syntax gets in the way of simple translation. And then there are idioms. You know what an idiom is? Not an idiot, an idiom. We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And our subject tonight, as you saw on the website, is a question. Proof of ET origins? Before we get into why that is the topic, I want to restate what I have said. And by restate, I don't mean I'm going to change it. I just want to say again what I have said about our origins. I don't know a lot about our origins, but I know a few things. One, I know that you have 223, I think it is, 223 genes in the human genome that have no, and I quote, no evolutionary precursors. End quote. And I was quoting Francis Crick, one of the guys who discovered DNA. There are 223 genes in our genome that are not from here. They have no precursors. In other words, there's part of you that could not have evolved. If evolution is in any way true, then there's part of you, and perhaps a significant part, that did not evolve, didn't come from here. After that information came out, there were scientists who scrambled, of course, trying to protect the locked vaults of the Vatican of Science. And, you know, the first high pope of what is modern science these days is Charles Darwin, who was dead wrong and dead too. And, but that doesn't mean, when I say Darwin is dead, that doesn't mean that every possible form of evolution is dead. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is his theory ain't possible. Yeah, I know it's bad English, but it's good preaching, huh? All right. Now, I'm saying all of this right here at the beginning because I don't want people sitting around saying, well, what does he think about this? What does he believe? I can tell you, I don't believe anything about this. I do think about it, and I will throw in a few other thoughts as we go along here. But I just want it clear right up front that it's scientists who said you have 223 genes that didn't come from here. But there were some other scientists that came along trying to protect their religion, and it is a religion. They believe in it, but there's no proof of it. And so it's faith of Darwinism. And they said, well, those 223 genes, that's a result of a sideways insertion into the genome from some kind of virus. No. Because then that virus is the precursor. And so, if there is a precursor, then why are you having to try and account for the 223 genes? You're trying to account for them because there's not a precursor. There is no evolutionary precursor. And you're trying to make up some theory of how it happened. But however it happened would have been the precursor. So you have 223 genes that are not from here. Now, why am I doing a show tonight with a question as the topic, and the question being proof of ET origins? Well, the reason is because out on the internet, it goes by several headlines. It's the same article, though. But one of them is an alien message embedded in our genetic code. And this is an article about the research of two guys, Vladimir I. Scherbach. And he is a professor at the Al-Farabi Kazakh National University of Kazakhstan. And I've done shows on this before, and I've talked about him before. He's pretty well known, and he's published five papers, peer-reviewed papers on his own, over 60 other papers quote him and quote his peer-reviewed papers, and those 60 something other papers are written by 32 other peer-reviewed authors. So he's pretty well known. And then Maxim A., I guess it's pronounced Makukov, of the Fezenkov Astrophysical Institute. Now these two guys have taken a look at the human genome. And they've looked at the basic code for the DNA code. And what they are saying is that this code, this DNA code, has very regular patterns in it, and that, in fact, it's an intelligent signal embedded, or an intelligent stamp, I guess you could say, embedded in our genetic code. It's mathematical, it's semantic, and they say what better way for whoever designed DNA, whoever made our DNA, what better way for them to stamp their ownership than to write it in the DNA code, because it would last for cosmological epochs of time. And they say that, let me just read here, what they say about, what they see in DNA. And this is a quote: simple arrangements of the code reveal an ensemble of arithmetical and ideographical patterns of symbolic language, which includes the use of decimal notation, logical transformations, and the use of the abstract symbol of zero. It's accurate and semantic, and the underlying patterns appear as a product of precision logic and non-trivial computing. That's what these two guys say, and they have, incidentally, published this in a scientific journal called Icarus, and that's a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And what's happening out there now, because you've got two scientists of academic note who are saying that your DNA is a language and shows precision, non-trivial computing, high logic, and the use of, I don't recall if I said it, but semantics. In other words, it is a language. DNA code is a language. Now, this is not the first time that we've heard this. Russian scientists have been working on this for a long time. Japanese scientists have been working on this for a long time. For more than a decade, possibly two decades, they've been saying that it looks like a language. This is the first time I'm aware of where we've had such details as, you know, complicated arithmetic syntax and high logic and semantics and the use of decimal notations. I mean, it sounds like they're really getting close to being able to just read the paragraph, you know. But what they're saying, and they, their hypothesis is that looking at all this evidence, and I quote again, the genetic code appears that it was invented outside the solar system already several billion years ago. So that has the internet in a stir. A huge stir. Yeah, I was saying Vladimir Scherbak had all these publications. I think I told you he has 12. He's got 15. He's been quoted in 68 other peer-reviewed papers by 32 other authors. So, I mean, you know, this is, he's not a lightweight. And this has not only the internet in a stir, this has the real world in a stir. And here is why. Because there is, you know, one basic group, I guess you could say, it's one common basic group that says it all has happened by chance and circumstance and, you know, physical laws, things that, that just happen by physical law, have governed the evolution of slime into us. I grant you, I know some slimy people. I do, in my former career, I dealt with a lot of slimy people, too. Biological scum is a little different. And so this basic group, I mean, there's that one group. But then there's a host of other beliefs, and that one is a belief. That evolution is a belief. It's not a fact. It is a belief. And every time I say that, I get email from someone who says, "You seem so intelligent, and yet, you know, it sets my teeth on edge every time you say something like that because I'm embarrassed for you." Do not be embarrassed. I shall repeat it. Evolution is a belief. It's a religion. it is not hard science. I don't care if 2 billion scientists line up and say they believe it. That doesn't mean it's not a belief. It is a belief. Just means it's got 2 billion guys saying they believe it. But it's a belief. But then you got a host of others, other beliefs, about our origins and the nature of our existence. And all of those others have jumped on this. They've jumped on this article, and they're saying, see, we told you so. So that's what we're going to examine a little bit here tonight. Now, the work of Cherbach and Makokoff, was that his name? I know I'm not saying it correctly, but let's check it out just in case here. Yeah, Makokoff. Maxim Makokoff. The work of these two guys is not just a couple of guys having a beer in the garage and, you know, saying, well, you know, I think it's this. These are some heavyweight scientists. And they are saying, look, there is a language in that DNA. We can read some of it. It has syntax. Do you know what syntax is? Let me give you an example. In English, we would say, hand me the red apple. So our syntax is to put red before apple. We put the modifier before the noun. In Spanish, it doesn't work that way, and in a lot of other languages. The syntax is, hand to me the apple red. You put the noun first and then the modifier. That's what syntax is. And so they're saying this language has syntax. It also contains high arithmetics, high logic. It uses decimal numbers. It uses also the sort of abstract zero. I mean, they can recognize all of this in the DNA. And so now what you've got is you have people who are in favor of and they believe in intelligent design as the origin point of the universe and of us. They're jumping on it and saying, see, that proves intelligent design. You have people who believe in creation, the Bible version of creation, you know, God did it. They're jumping on it and they're saying, see, that's like God's signature. Now, I do hope you folks realize if God did it, he's an excessively advanced geneticist. And then you have people who are sort of more in what gets called the world of woo-woo, you know, spiritual but not religious. And sometimes that is used, the world of woo-woo is kind of used as an insult, but sometimes not. But that whole thing, you know, I mean, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. It doesn't offend me when somebody says, well, you're woo-woo, okay? They don't know me. But they're jumping on it. Same reason. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll be back with more information about this in just a moment.